Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A.
Take my quarters.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games.
Okay, all right, I'm recording when you guys are ready.
Yep, I think I'm good.
Sounds cool, I can tell you the name.
Everybody, and welcome to the RHAPB&B. My name is Mike Bloom, talking about a love-filled episode of Survivor Ghost Island, joined by a lovely panel to talk through this episode and all the shenanigans that ensue as a result. First, let me bring in the co-owner of the B&B, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here with my loved one. She doesn't know it yet, but Meg, if I ever play Survivor, you're coming out with me. You are going to be my loved one.
Wow. Wow. I feel so shafted right now.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's got to hold down the fort, Mike. Okay. You can't be out there getting reward. Sorry. It's going to be Megzy.
I am loving the chance to be here with both of you guys and to check into the B&B again. Thank you so much.
And in fact, we're talking about the Love Ida tribe this week as well. So even though screw you, Valentine's Day, we're celebrating love on 3 months later. Screw your Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, take that. Haha. It's because, Mike, it's because you were using the calendar from 2001, right?
Oh, that's
the
true.
One that
the
one we
that bought off of
got
eBay
on eBay.
You gave me such a great deal on it, Liana. Thank you for giving me that tip off.
You're welcome. And we all know that what 17 years ago, we were off by a couple months.
Now
you know, because that's
track,
how it
though.
Works. Yeah.
Everything comes full circle, and we're sort of coming full circle here because Megan, you were one of the first guests on our inaugural B&B, and we're so happy to have you join us near the end of Survivor Ghost Island. We've heard your Survivor resume before, but I would love to get your thoughts. You know, we heard from you at the very beginning of the season when you got to reverse your curse by winning This Week in Survivor History on RHAP proper, but what have you thought about Survivor Ghost Island as a whole since then?
Yeah, so I actually have been enjoying Ghost Island. As for the actual twist, I don't know why people's expectations were so high that it would work out perfectly, but I'm okay with the trade-off of we get these really cool advantages and everything from the past. For the trade-off that there hasn't been a ton of consistency with it, I would have rather have it that way than we had a really consistent twist with just like our regular vote steals and advantages. So I love that throwback. And then I think the cast is really great. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Survivor South Pacific, but with a much better cast, and the pagonging seems to be pretty tolerable to go with. And even last night when we look at the boot, I think there was a lot of like, ooh, will they, won't they, what's gonna happen here? So they seem to be teasing me along just fine with this.
So you're all into Ghost Island.
It's a love triangle. Oh man, well now Ghost Island though is getting pretty lazy. It's just like handing out advantages, like, look, I'm tired, just take the advantage.
I had a long day at work, you can just stop by, take the advantage, and you know, we don't need to cuddle afterwards or anything.
Take a cup of rice in one hand, an advantage on the left hand, and make sure you wave on the way out.
Well, you know, just leave the money on the bedside table. But you know what they say, you need to
pull in so far.
Well, okay, you know what it's an island of the night. Yes, it's the it's been tempted too much, could not break the curse. But you know what they say, you have to keep dating. You know, once you solidify a relationship, you know, you got to keep working at it. And I feel like that's been the problem with Ghost Island.
You think it's settled down?
It's just, yeah, they settled down. They haven't figured it out. I don't know. Okay, I'm disappointed in Ghost Island the past, like, I don't know, 2 weeks, I guess. I don't know. I want something more from Ghost Island. It just kind of feels like womp womp at
you
this
should,
point.
You should know better. You're lucky you didn't get the Medallion of Power part two.
Yeah.
This is as good as we can have it.
I mean, I think Megan gets a good point, because I think, like, we're getting a womp womp, but beforehand, everyone was expecting an urgh in terms of audience reaction / Charlie
what
Brown
was that
noises.
Again?
I'm also, I don't think you're not seeing this, but I'm shaking my fist as I say it. It's very, like, onomatopoeia.
This is like the state that we're at right now. It's like, oh, we've just kind of given up on describing it in words. We're just going to use sounds. And the way I feel about Ghost Island is womp womp. The way Mike feels is rah.
I think it's a bleep bloop, bleep bloop.
Oh, is that like a radar?
It's like, it's kind of steady. It's like, okay, I can handle it. Okay, good enough.
Mm-hmm. So just much like Chelsea showed up on everyone's radar this week, both from an edit perspective and a targeting perspective, so has Ghost Island shown up on Megan Z's radar. Well, we have a lot to get into to talk through another episode of Ghost Island, including the loved ones visit, another Donathan and Laurel towing the line, but then stepping back, the boot of Chelsea, etc., etc. We also have, I didn't even introduce you beforehand, Liana, as Chelseana Bortend, but you really have become the, I mean, you mentioned it before, but you really have become the Daniel Day-Lewis / Meryl Streep of RHAP Nation.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Those are the most accurate comparisons, if you think about my performances on the exit interviews this week. I've been honing in on my Seabass impression, so I'm really hoping that the stars align for that. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I think I have enough to submit for my podcast Emmy tape, so that's really what I'm working on now.
And I also,
I'm hoping you're the only one on the red carpet with Rob at the finale, and you just like step out of frame, put a wig on, step out of frame, put another wig on, and we're just like, oh my gosh, look at, she can handle it all.
See, that's what I've been working up towards. The yeah, it's oh my gosh, yeah, okay, well, we'll talk offline, but I have some plans for sabotage. We'll see what happens.
That's
okay.
Interesting. Well, I also didn't note that you were tweeted at by the woman Chelsea herself, saying, basically declaring like what was her words and what was not.
Yeah. So she tweeted as a PSA that obviously the first and last parts of the RHAP exit interview were not my words. Lol, crying face emoji. So I don't know. I feel like I really embodied Chelsea. So I feel like her words, my words, they're really just Chelsea's words.
So she had time to listen to it, comment on it, but not actually give her own. Okay, just double checking what the order
was here. She was on a plane. All right. I got to interview with her. She was lovely, but I guess for the hour that she was in the air where Rob had the exit interview scheduled with her, she wasn't able to talk with him. So I don't know if that got any other members of the press, but fortunately, I guess for the rest of us, we were able to actually talk with Chelsea. But fortunately for the RHAP community, we got to hear Liana's dulcet tones channel Chelsea.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. That's actually, I heard, though, that Chelsea is pitching a new movie to the Sci-Fi Network. It's Chelsea's on a Plane. just going with the Sharknado theme.
I have sorry, okay, so all of these mother effing purple survivors on this mother effing plane.
And they're all of the purple people are on the plane. So like Purple Kelly's there. Yep. The other Purple Kelly is there.
There's almost anybody no dialogue.
It's a silent film.
It's just harkening back. And actually, instead of it being in black and white, it's in like some purple sepia tone kind of thing. Hues,
as if like they're with Thanos on some, Thanos is the pilot.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think this is going to be a big
This movie makes complete sense, much like everything we do here at the B&B. Well, we spoke a lot about Chelsea. Let's move into our first segment here on the B&B. The Liana Wins game, subtitled our preseason predictions.
Won. Do we even need to listen? Woo!
I mean, I think we need to, because the other theme of this is everyone points and laughs at how ridiculous I am, which again is not straying too far from the norm. So I will gladly embarrass myself once more by rooting out my demented fan fiction of what I'm assuming I wrote about Chelsea.
I like it because it's just like, haha, Mike's too specific.
Nail those details, Bloom.
Yeah, Bloom. Okay, so this is what I had written about Chelsea. So I had Chelsea going in the finale.
Oh.
So, yeah, so we'll see how this works. And just so everybody's aware, I have random words capitalized.
Well, are you
so
T-bird?
I'm going to do my... I don't... Yeah, maybe. That's why I was channeling. Well, they're not super... Anyway.
Do you have Chelsea capitalized or lowercased?
No, it's lowercase.
Wait, is it like the SpongeBob meme?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not alternating that much. Oh. I think I'm trying. Okay, no, I see what I did now. So I don't. Yeah, okay. I'm reading this now. I'm trying to emphasize a really terrible joke. So, all right, here we go. Ooh, girl. So you can tell I'm like later in the bottle of wine. You made it to the finale, but I have some unfortunate news for you. The other castaways did not think of you first, but instead of playing second fiddle to Morgan, always third in line, fourth to the punch, forever the fifth wheel, pretty much drawing 6 feet under. Here are 7 things you did wrong. God. And then I wrote C hashtag YX blast. Hashtag RHAP. Don't scheme and plot too much.
So just so we understand, first you started by like calling as if she was a drag queen, calling her to this monitor you put up. Then you proceeded to count while you were talking to her. You listed there were going to be 7 reasons. You did not give any. You just directed them to a podcast that doesn't exist called Why Blank Blossed.
It's not even a prediction. It's just me trying to make a joke about counting, and then
what does it have
just,
to do with Chelsea? And then she counts probably 5, 6, 7, 8 for the cheerleading, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't even think I was that articulate.
I don't think she was that into. No, I don't think she knew to do that.
No, I like that I wrote pretty much drawing 6 feet under, like it's drawing dead. So that was like, that was sort of clever. But yeah, so I'm just actually really excited now this week for Why Blank Blossed.
What do we think Why Blank Blossed means?
I don't know. So is it, I don't know if it's an acronym.
Blossed. Let's see. Maybe if we say it slower, we'll figure blossed, it out. Blossed.
According to Urban Dictionary, well, there's a couple definitions here. Blossed is short for blog post. And blossed is also being high on marijuana and not knowing where you're at.
Oh, so Seabass is going to be doing this podcast.
Well, I guess
Stony
it's like,
Blosty.
It. Yeah, it's a combination of like blunt. Blosty. It's a combination of like lost and blunt.
Blunt. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay.
So, like, for example, Seabass was able to win the reward challenge because he did not get blossed, considering he had to only go down one lane and then throw a bag onto a platform.
Oh, that was a really good job, Mike, using that in a sentence, because I think we just learned about a new portmanteau. I'm pretty excited. I'm going to try to use blossed this week at work.
And I cannot wait for the reboot of Lost. Very different reboot with Seth Rogen and James Franco called Blossed.
Called Blossed, yeah.
All right. Well, I had Chelsea. We were both off the mark, unlike Seabag's Blossed-like aim. I had Chelsea going pre-merge. Let's see what I had to say. As someone who is well-balanced in all sense of the phrase, Chelsea will do well not sticking out in the early days of Navidi. When Chris does not get some noble nookie... Oh, God.
Whoa!
As Gonzalez is on the other tribe, he'll turn to flirting with her, which she will reciprocate. She stays loyal to him, even getting clued into the advantage that he finds out on Ghost Island, thinking she can ride this gorgeous steed to a derby win. Very timely, given the Kentucky Derby. But once the swap hits, Chris gets separated from Chelsea, who finds herself in the minority of her new tribe. Unfortunately, this makes her the latest character in the voluminous Survivor series, A Song of Ice and Swap Screwed.
That sounds like Why X Blossed.
Yeah, maybe that should be my, like, when I read off the fan fiction of that's my version of Why Blank Blossed, because you have to be pretty high to make sense of it.
Yeah.
I can't believe I used the phrase noble nookie.
I can't believe that didn't catch on.
Make it a hashtag, people. Let's get noble nooking trending.
I'm amazed that Chris didn't rap about that in his Ponderosa video.
I did it all for the noble nookie.
Yeah.
So you can take that cookie and eat it because I'm starving. All right, Megan, you have slim pickings. We really have given you scraps, basically. Quite the opposite of the macaron-infested cake that they got on the reward this episode. So you get to pick who had the more accurate prediction about Chelsea between the two of us.
Yes, thank you so much for this embarrassment of riches that has been delivered to me. I mean, first of all, I'm self-inviting myself here over when Liana does her assessment last year. So I'm just going to show up at your home to watch this whole thing go down because the RHAP BNB slumber party seems like it has to happen.
Yes.
And I think just based on the fact that Chelsea did make it closer to the finale, kind of, it's got to be Liana.
Boom.
She just counted.
I know, but I said, don't scheme and plot too much. So
I'm just saving Chelsea from your nightmare scenario where she's involved in a nobleman's.
Yeah, actually, that's really nice. We don't want to put that out in the universe. Nobody wants any noble nookie.
I said, he might be a very caring lover. We don't know this.
That's something I don't want to think about, but thank
Listen,
you,
he
Mike,
was the
for putting
one,
it out there.
The
we don't to, assume too much.
He first turned Ghost Island to the Island of the Night, so you have to assume they had a good time together.
Ayo.
All right, well, Meg,
this is the sound that I feel about that.
Ooh. Here's the sound Chris feels. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
I love this. We can make a soundboard by the end of this. Like, we can just play for no discernible reason. Well, Megan, let's turn the tables back onto you. Do you have a question that you'd like to discuss, have us discuss this week about the episode or Survivor or the season in general?
Yeah. So I was watching, obviously, the episode, and the family visit is always a really emotional one. People are crying and people are, you know, feeling their full range of emotions. So I was wondering, what is the most emotional reaction you've ever had to watching Survivor? Or then we can open the vault to any other reality show, whether it's crying, whether it's getting really angry at something. I mean, every once in a while you hear that somebody like shot their TV over Dancing with the Stars. So I'm just wondering, do you have any moments where you like remember feeling like, you know, pacing, really angry, really happy, or something that happened?
Are we getting, I guess the other question is, are we getting to the same level as Jeff Probst? Because I don't know if you guys read up on this, but I mean, when I was watching the episode, I thought I heard Jeff's voice change a little bit when he was talking with Angela and her daughter. But it turns out that from what I heard, like, he had to like stop the camera to take like a sufficient break because he was just emotionally devastated. I guess it's understandable considering that like he has a daughter and that was probably bringing up some feelings. Same thing that he had a similar reaction when Brenda visited with her dad in Karamoan, but Jeff got so verklempt. It's crazy to think about.
Aw, yeah. Well, I heard about that. And it must have been after, because, yeah, you hear him start to well up, which is just kind of crazy. But, yeah, didn't they have to stop for, like, 30 minutes or something like that while he sort of...
Could you imagine, like, they pause down while Jeff goes on, like, a crying jag for half an hour, and then he comes back?
It's a very emotional man, Mike. How dare you?
I mean, it's kind of ironic because he's like crying. So he's got like that frog in his throat, like kind of sound to him. And it's ironic because he's talking to Angela, who's known for having things in her throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she clears them real quick, you know, like doesn't choke on those. Okay, times I've been emotional.
I remember one that maybe I'll get more to like the mainstream reality, but I remember one that that comes to the top of my mind. Do you guys remember an Andy Dick reality show called, I think, The Assistant?
I'm really hoping you cried.
No,
the title sounds familiar, but
so yeah, so
the details don't.
So The Assistant was a reality television show where these people were competing to be Andy Dick's assistant, but every episode parodied a different reality show. So there was a Survivor episode, there was a Bachelor episode, there was a Fear Factor episode, American Idol episode, etc. And I remember that I really liked this guy named Mark, and it was down to like him and this girl named Melissa at the end of it, and Andy Dick chose Melissa. And I remember going to realitytvrules.com, my old bastion where I posted my Amazing Race Simpsons fan fiction once upon a time. And I just expressed how furious and livid I was that this man, Mark, did not get picked for the illustrious job of being Andy Dick's assistant. It's probably the angriest I've ever been at a reality show. This was all the way back in the year 2004.
Whatever happened to Melissa?
Let's see. She has a Wikipedia article.
Let's see.
She is an actress and a model. She currently portrays the character of Abby Newman on the drama series The Young and the Restless.
Okay, so it seems that the assistant job really worked out for her. She got connected.
Yes. Wait, is The Young and the Restless the one that all the survivors go on? Is that different?
Bold and the Beautiful. Is that
Oh, yes.
The blank and the that blank, right. basically. Coming up after Why Blank Blossed.
Yeah, exactly. We're actually going to be in the off season. We're working on our own version of, what are those? What are they?
Soap operas?
Soap opera. Well, it's okay. I'm reading her Wikipedia page and it says the drama series. And I was like, no, that's not right. Okay. So I don't remember any like very specific times where I was upset at reality television. I'm sure there are plenty, but this is so stupid. I always cry at The Biggest Loser. It's like the one show that will always consistently make me cry because they have their personal stories. And I would do this thing where I would work out while I would watch The Biggest Loser because I felt like it would motivate me.
Sure.
And so I'm like on the elliptical, like crying because like Jenna like eats her feelings. And I'm like, that's so sad. She just has such a hard time at every single time. I swear to God, it was just, it's really terrible. I can't watch it without crying. I don't know what it is.
Well, I believe it's canceled now. So maybe because you left the elliptical now, or you left it behind when you went on the elliptical. Now it's sort of the blood's on your hands now, Liana.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just, I don't know if it's the endorphins while working out. And it was like, that was the connection. Although one time I did watch the Kardashians and I did not have the same emotional reaction. So I don't know if that's due to the Kardashian clan or my endorphins, but I don't know.
The gym that I go to sold Girl Scout cookies inside of it. And the people's endorphins were through the roof. They were running around with the Girl Scout cookies. It was a very strange combination.
That is fantastic.
Are you allowed to do that?
I don't know if you're allowed to do it, but they certainly did it for like a month straight.
I mean,
are there any laws barring? I mean, I don't know if gyms have laws where you can't sell stuff. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure about that.
Well, I feel like it would be against the Girl Scout cookie, like against Girl Scouts. Like, where can Girl Scouts sell their cookies?
Where can they not sell their cookies?
Apparently in gyms.
Yeah, okay, well, because wasn't there the story about how the Girl Scouts, like, there was one Girl Scout who set up right in front of a dispensary?
Yes.
Right? I feel like that was a thing.
Lots of blasting going on.
Yeah, nobody's getting blasted because they can find their way easily to those Girl Scout cookies.
I mean, they're right there.
Well, Megan, you were the one who asked the question. Do you have a particular emotional story you remember from a time where a reality TV show made you happy, sad, any of the five characters from Inside Out?
Yeah. So I'm going to, because we're family, I'm going to go deep in the vault here. And I, as recently as last fall, I found myself watching the season finale of the CMT reality show Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders Making the Team and found myself hysterically crying to the finale when the girls found out they made the team. And I was like, you know what? I think I've hit a low point in my life, but this is who I am. I watch reality TV and I'm crying to a bunch of cheerleaders.
See, okay, I feel slightly better about myself now. No offense.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
But, I mean, who knows? Chelsea could have been one of those cheerleaders and you didn't even know it.
She could have, but you're right. I probably wouldn't have seen her on that show either.
Right, yeah. I was going to say she wouldn't have gotten any airtime. Oh, man.
What's the concept of making it? So was it like making the band? They all work together to make the team? Or was it like they get eliminated and then the ones at the end then make the team?
Yeah, it's kind of so I believe they're on their like 12th or 13th season.
What?
And every season it's the exact same thing. The girls audition and then they like, you know, they like work out really hard. And then the girls who are the best ones, they make the team and other ones get cut right at the end. So they've had like their uniform fitted and they have like their boots that they've tried on and then they get clipped right at the end. But then the girls that make it, they're all like super happy and they're sobbing and they're all hugging each other. So, yeah.
It sounds brutal. I can't believe it's in its like what'd you say 12th season?
It's 12th or 13th season. Yeah, but this show would also motivate you to work out because the girls will be in like their little outfits and like the people will be evaluating them and be like, oh, she looks a little like thick today. And I'll be like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, I'll have to do that after I buy some Girl Scout cookies because, well, this could go one of two ways. According to the Girl Scouts website, you can try their free mobile cookie finder app, and you can search for cookie sales in your neighborhood, get details on your favorite Girl Scout cookies, and use social media to learn more and tell your friends. This sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to have an app where you can say what little girls are in my area.
Yeah, exactly. Seems like they make apps to like keep those people away.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or is this a trap?
Yeah, it could be a honeypot. Long con set up by Chris Hansen. I almost said Chris Hammonds for a second, but that would be interesting if Chris Hammonds hosted To Catch a Predator.
This and then like, Brett LaBelle would be the cop on it.
Yeah, under arrest.
Oh, this is great. Oh my gosh, you guys, after we pitch our Chelsea's on a Plane movie, I think now we have our new To Catch a Predator. Yeah, look, okay, I'm looking at screen caps of the app and it tells you how far away they are and where they're selling. This is not great.
We're doing a real public service here.
Yeah, this is making me
feel or the opposite.
This is making me feel an entirely different emotion altogether. Well, I know that, we didn't bring up any loved ones moments, but did any loved ones visits this episode stir up anything within any of us?
Okay, so yes, I pretty much welled up at everybody because I ultimately at my core am a softie. I didn't cry though outright, especially when Dominic's wife though was like, I love you and I hate you so much. I was like, that's so true.
Yeah, that sounds like something out of like a Meg Ryan rom-com.
Yeah, right, exactly.
In the secret scene, he said she was consuming his soul. And I was like, whoa, that's a really deep statement.
Wait, is that a succubus? Is that the term?
Yeah. Like the female incubus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. And then also, I was still emotional, even though Seabass made no sense when he was like, she's my twin, but she's not really my twin. I was like, that's so amazing. I don't understand genetics.
Also, I know this was talking about online. Did she not look a little bit like Jenna?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. I thought about that as my discussion question. But I was like, I think discussing some sort of incest.
Book opened, really book closed.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like, I don't know how much discussion you can have based on that.
Well,
I do think overall this was kind of possibly a cast of duds for loved ones, though. I think this is probably one of the weaker loved ones casts.
Well, I would say that like usually you have like a personality standout. And maybe it's just because only a few went on the reward that we didn't see too much of it. I mean, the standout is clearly Aunt Patty. If we're bringing back a returnee from this loved one's bunch, it's to move on to the next round. It's got to be Aunt Patty, because both her. I mean, I know I got fact checks on this. I think it's the first time since Sandra's uncle from Heroes versus Villains where we had like an aunt or uncle visit. And also her just basically bargaining a deal with Dominic on behalf of Donathan was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. The rest of them were all, really boring. But Aunt Patty, was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the standout. Oh, man. We should do. OK, so there should be a Survivor season where it's all the loved ones, like the exciting loved ones. I think that would be fun. Or it could be Andy Dick's reboot of The Assistant with all of the loved ones from Survivor.
Are they competing for Jeff Probst's assistant?
Yeah.
Which loved one do you want to see back for that season?
Oh, man. I feel like there are so many good ones that I can't think of right now. Well, Thunder D, obviously. He's got to be around.
He's great. I'm going to submit here. Miles, Malcolm's brother. He's crazy.
I want Kat's cousin that likes to bark like a dog.
Yep. Robbie, I think was his name.
Let's see. Reed, maybe.
Well, see, the thing is, do you want Reed without Colby? Because I feel like they're sort of like a duo in that regard. Like, Reed seems totally cool. It's just when his brother is yelling at him that he becomes really funny. Do we count Laura Bonham? Can she sneak her way in there even though she played before?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no rule. I mean, do we really want to make rules for The Assistant?
There are no rules. The rules change literally every episode on The Assistant. So I think it's par for the course.
Should we bring back Melissa from The Assistant?
Ooh, but she has to be disguised. She has to keep up the guise. She has to claim that she was related to a Survivor contestant. And if she's able to keep up the disguise, she gets her job back.
It's undercover Melissa. Nobody will ever suspect she's back.
Yeah, right. And you can have Mark make a special appearance just for you, Mike. Yes. You know?
No, but then he'll get cut again and he'll just be my fallen angel once more.
Robbed G dot
G dot Marcus.
G dot Marcus. Oh man!
Oh boy! Well, let's throw away the book of blood versus blood, whatever we want to call this all family member season of Survivor. Let's get into our first game here. So we've been talking about Chelsea, and actually, it's convenient, Liana, that you talked about your reboot, Purples on a Plane. I'm gonna bring forth a game for us called Chelsea What? And here's how it works. So Chelsea, you know, it's been talked a lot about how unfortunate little airtime she got, but we're going to see if you two actually remember what Chelsea said in her limited time or speaking time on Survivor. So here's what we're going to do. I have 12 quotes for you. They're either said by Chelsea or said by another under-edited contestant on Survivor. So we'll go back and forth. You have to guess whether it's Chelsea or whether it's another random contestant. If you get the random contestant right, if you are able to guess who it is, I will even give you a bonus point. Are you up for the challenge?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is going to be a disaster. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's see this hot mess roll out.
All right. Hot mess rolling out, much like that app that tracks Girl Scout cookies. Let's dig into Samoa, some more questions. We'll start with Megan, because you're the guest here. So again, I'll read a quote, identify whether it's Chelsea or another purple player. I know we need the strength, but in case somehow they have one, I feel like we're safer to take out one of the guys.
Oh, that is vague and vaguer. I'll just go with Chelsea.
Your gut, much like unlike Kellen's, is correct. It was Chelsea. That was when she sort of helped plan the Navidi majority among the Malolos to try to vote out Brendan. So that was a big strategic contribution from Chelsea.
I do not remember that at all.
And that's
was
the
that
fun
this
of the game.
Season.
Yep.
Actually, Chelsea has been on the past 5 seasons of Survivor. We just haven't
She's
known.
Been maturing
I knew
on
that was
Ghost
from Game
Island.
Changers.
She's been Chelsea's been maturing on Ghost Island, and now this time she gets 4 confessionals.
All right, Liana, let's throw it over to you. I'm trying to not ruffle feathers, steer clear, build good relationships, which is what I'm good at.
I mean, how could you not know this, Liana? This is so obvious.
Okay, let's go with not Chelsea.
That is correct. For a bonus point, can you guess who said it?
Nope.
All right, completely denying the question. That is the winner of Survivor Samoa, Natalie White, said that.
Oh, of course. Duh.
Though she did not say the popular Russell Feathers. So who knows if she'll fit in on Blood versus Blood. Let's move on. We are tied 1-1, going back to Megan. Love finds you sometimes, and you don't even know it.
Love finds you sometimes, and you don't even know it. I'll go with not Chelsea.
That is correct. Can you guess who said it?
I'm gonna take the guess. Let's go with Whitney Duncan.
That is incorrect. It was Courtney Yates in Heroes versus Villains said this about Jerry and Coach starting their little no-mance on Villains Beach.
That makes sense. I thought it was a discarded Chris Noble rap line. He's like trying to be deep.
Yeah, it was off of his B-side Noble Nookie track. I'm fine just sometimes. You don't even know it. All right, let's move back to you, Liana. The more I can talk to them, the more I can get into their head of what they're thinking, what their ideas are, what kind of person they are, is going to give me a better idea of now and down the line of who I should put my trust into. And yes, that last part doesn't make sense.
There is no way Chelsea spoke for that long. That was really long. So I'm going to go with not Chelsea.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect. It was Chelsea.
What? That's a classic scene from this season. They're going to show it at the reunion.
Yes, in her winner package, even though she didn't win.
That makes sense. I'm sorry. I should have known that. I didn't channel. Clearly, I need to get back in the mindset of channeling Chelsea.
Yeah, come on. Let's get the candles lit. We'll get the seance going. We can get this possession happening. As we move back to Megan here for round 3. I was doing some push-ups. I don't know why. Keeps the adrenaline going.
Oh, I got to tell you before I answer this. So I have two mutually exclusive casual friends of Survivor that both watched the show. And I checked in with them before the episode. And one of them, I said, like, who are you liking this season? And their favorite people were both Angela and Chelsea. They were not able to name their names, but their favorites were Angela and Chelsea. And I was like, huh, she is the favorite.
I mean, they really are like looking to the background of all these shots, aren't they?
They are. I'm going to go with not Chelsea.
That is correct. For a bonus point, can you name who was the person who said it?
Gimme JP.
Unfortunately, you should have gone with your previous answer. It was Whitney Duncan from Survivor South Pacific.
Yeah, you just got to start guessing purple people, right?
Yes.
That'll be on our movie.
We'll be the purple people eaters, therefore. But yeah, Whitney, I guess, was a precursor to Debbie, just doing push-ups just to get her aggression out. All right, Liana, you are down 3-1, but let's see if you can make up some ground here with this next quote. You just have to read and run. Read people, read the situation, go with it.
Not Chelsea.
That is correct. For a bonus point, can you name who it is?
Whitney Duncan.
No, this is unfortunately not a Whitney Duncan or Chelsea Townsend game. The correct answer is Kelly Wigglesworth from Survivor Cambodia.
Oh. Wait, all right, so these are other people who got purple edits?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you not know what game we were playing?
No. I was like half listening. No, I mean, I don't know. I guess she did get a purple edit. I don't know. I just love her.
All right. Well, let's move things back to Megan here. Steak is my favorite thing in the world.
Ooh, steak is my favorite thing in the world. Would this be really embarrassing if I couldn't pull this together that Chelsea just ate steak in the last like couple of episodes? Yes, Chelsea. Yes, please.
Yes. You are correct. Chelsea said it after the Navidi tribe won those steaks and she was salivating over them even more than Libby.
Jeff Probst also said steak is great. I feel like you could have also accepted Jeff Probst.
Yes, if we were going with the paraphrase, the purple paraphrase, I would have also gone with Jeff Probst, yes.
That's the game that I'm playing, so I just hope you guys catch up.
I would say you're playing three-dimensional chess, but you're essentially playing, like, kickball while we're all the way over here playing something else completely.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, we'll kick
also, if we were playing the game, what was the one thing I learned in Chelsea's Ponderosa video? It was, she likes bath bombs. That was the only thing I learned.
Oh, I love that she likes to play her own game, specifically the game One Word, and not to be confused with the season.
Actually, Chelsea was on Survivor One World, Mike.
Oh, how could I have forgotten? She was the net that Courtney Moon fell into, then become sentient. That's a cursed net. Now it's finally life. All right, so you got that one
did
incorrect. Megan got that one correct. So we're now going back to you, Liana, for this next question, or quote, that challenge was definitely one of the most funnest things I've ever done.
The most funnest. Not Chelsea.
That is correct. For a bonus point, can you name who it was?
Purple Kelly.
Oh, no. Sticking with one word, one world. It is Leaf.
Oh, that totally makes sense. Because after Leaf was voted out, then Chelsea actually, as the net, hid in his box. So... that just makes sense. Yeah.
Yes, Leaf was talking about that that big slide challenge that he went down.
He flew.
That actually did look the most funnest.
You will see you will see a leaf fly. All right, Megan, you are up 4-3. We're moving on to the next round here. What everybody thinks is right, I'm okay with.
Yes, that quote. Yes. Not Chelsea.
69. It was totally Chelsea.
All right. Well, I'm not going to give you any bonus points, but I'll give you credit, Liana. That is correct.
I saw it on the subreddit today.
I would call that cheating, but you didn't know about this ahead of time, nor do you know about the game while you're playing. So
I said 69, Mike.
Yes, that is the magic number here on the B&B. Well, Liana, this gives you an opportunity to tie up if you get this next one. All I can think about is, where does that leave me? Does this mean I'm next?
Chelsea.
That is correct. It's Chelsea channeling her best Carrie Bradshaw in the one secret scene about her after Desiree got voted out.
I was thinking the same thing, Mike, because you were talking about that. I was like, what TV show wrapped up every kind of thing with like a little like overlay? And I was like, oh yeah, it sounds like Sex and the City or The Wonder Years.
I ate my steak, I thought to myself, was I biting off more than I can chew with the noble nookie?
Yeah, often confused, Sex and the City, The Wonder Years, and Survivor.
They're all part of the same wheelhouse, really. All right, here's where we're looking. We're looking at a tie game, folks. So last round's really going to be the determinant here. So we're going back to Megan for your final quote here. Whenever I go off by myself, especially in the water, when I'm looking at the wall or looking into outer space, I'm grounded. I remember why I'm here.
I actually think I know this. It's not Chelsea. It's Brenda.
That is correct for double the points.
What?
Yes. Oh. Brenda Lowe said that about one of the many reasons why she purposely gave herself a purple edit in Survivor Karamoan.
How do you remember that?
You know what? I wish there were more important things I remembered, but it's just that Brenda Lowe confessional I've been keeping. But you know what? Now that I've put it out there, now I can put something new in there.
Is it true that Brenda Lowe was on the Miami Dolphins, making the team?
Yes, I equally sobbed at the finale of that.
I mean, so did she, but that was when her parents weren't able to visit her.
She's so humbled.
Yes, exactly. They said, all right, Brenda, you won the cheerleading challenge, but you could give all the other girls their parents if you deprive them of yours. And then look out. All right, Liana, last question. Let's see if you can tie here. I need to work on coming out of my shell and winning individual immunities.
So because the only way I have a chance to tie is if it's not Chelsea, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to say not Chelsea.
Yeah, I kind of put you in a no-win situation here. It's incorrect. It was Chelsea.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I think I stole that point, and I actually did know it was Chelsea, so.
You should just be like, no, I swear to you, Carter said the same thing. Look it up. Watch the season. I swear Carter said that.
Check the tapes, Mike. Definitely said it.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he would have said, like, I want to work on Penner coming out of his shell, just because I don't think Carter has a problem with pronouns.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, it was that. That's what it was.
Well, congratulations, anyway. Megan. You were able, through the gray matter, the purple matter in your brain, to be able to squeak out a win there in Chelsea. What?
You know, that's really, like, that name just is the best part of the challenge. Or this game, whatever you would call it. Chelsea, what?
Say what? Chelsea.
Okay. All right. Well, I have a discussion question that I could not decide on a discussion question. Because, okay, so here's the
thing.
That's
such a Laurel and Donathan thing for you to do, Liana. There's two paths.
I know, right?
Are we discussing the fact that you don't have a discussion question?
Okay, I haven't landed on it. I honestly wrote a couple, and then I was like, I don't know, I'll pick something. And then I was hoping the inspiration would strike, but being crushed by the Chelsea what challenge now has just left me a little empty. So, okay, all right, we'll discuss this. So, do we think that winning the loved ones challenge is an advantage or a disadvantage? Because I have thoughts on this, and I want to hear what you guys think about the situation.
So, I guess I'll counter that with another question. When's the last time that winning a loved one's challenge proved to be a detriment? It might honestly be Survivor Karamoan. I guess my theory about this is because with these larger seasons, because they're doing these family visits earlier and earlier, instead of like at final five or six, now they're doing them at eight or nine, there's more people around. So, you know, you can hide behind certain things, or you're bringing groups of people instead of only one or two people. So I would say, under the condition of, like, the modern-day loved ones challenge, I think it's okay to win.
Meg, what do you think? Can I just go on? Okay, so I know we call you Meg Z. Megan, can I just call you Meg? Is that, are we like on close enough terms? Is that a name that you go by?
I mean, I typically in my daily life don't go around with my last name initial.
You don't go by Meg Z.
That sounds very pompous to go around. So absolutely. In this context, you absolutely can drop my last name initial.
Okay, it's good to know, because I'm also making throw pillows for our sleepover when I do predictions for next season.
And that, excellent. That Z takes up so much thread.
It's okay. You know what? Actually, so I learned how to crochet because knitting was too hard. Yeah, but I'm not very good at it. So then I was like, okay, I'll do like needlepoint, because then I was like, oh, I can make like cooler designs and stuff. Mainly because I wanted to make one that said, "Don't do coke in the bathroom," and put it in my bathroom. It's really time consuming. Yeah, have you seen that? There's like a. Anyway, it's not important. The point is that it takes a long time. So yes, the Z does take a lot of thread and it takes a lot of time if you're going to try and make something. Okay, sorry. So thoughts on loved ones visit?
I mean, is there any benefit to winning it? I mean, forget the, is it a detriment to lose it? Is there a benefit to win it? I say you always bring your Aunt Patty out there, or, you know, give me Sonia Christopher as my loved one, and you just lose it, and then you just gracefully see what happens after that.
So are you recommending then that you purposely go for like your second and third string loved ones? Cause you're like, I don't want to be that emotionally affected that it causes me to win the challenge. Let me get like that guy in school who, like, I was sort of friendly with because we were in the same classes together.
Yeah, right. Like, maybe remember Tawana had her high school sweetheart, but they were no longer dating, and yes, the terms were really sketchy about what was going on there. Bring that guy out.
Yeah, this is my seventh cousin twice removed. I don't know. I think that'd be a good idea. I think that you really end up, I know that nothing in this episode bad happened to Seabass, although would he be aware of it? I doubt it. But it just seems like it is such a detriment, because you end up having to piss people off kind of regardless of what happens. And they're like so emotional because they probably didn't bring, you know, their dog sitter from when they were young. So they probably actually have an emotional connection to the people who are out there. I don't know. I just feel like it's really a big risk to win this reward.
Well, I guess it's a good question, because, you know, had things gone a different way, and that's a big had considering the plat that Laurel and Donathan took. But I mean, I feel like, from what we were being told, Kellen was the one to really spur along this let's split up Wendell and Dominic, because she was spurned. And maybe this is just like her sort of running hot, the idea that she couldn't, you know, spend more time with her brother and go on the reward. But I guess from what we're being told, it does seem that Kellen was driven to that action because she had certain feelings towards the way the loved ones challenge resulted.
And Kellen is all of us, you know, I mean, we all want to pretend like we'd be very calm, collected, not going to be bitter. But I mean, Kellen is all of us on a bad day when we're just like, you know what, this wasn't fair. I want to see the world burn. I want things to go my way. Kellen is very relatable. I know that she's kind of wavered in people's favor as we get towards the end of the season. I think she is much more relatable to a lot of how people would play Survivor, as opposed to some of the other people who are able to keep it chill all the time.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Maybe that's why we don't like her also, because she is like the truth, right? She's what we would be like. I mean, considering this panel here has gone online to angrily rant about, what was his name?
Mark.
Mark. No, since Mark.
I have him tattooed on my
assistant.
Thumb. Because he was always under Mark the thumb of robbed. Andy Dick.
That's so dramatic. You know, cried over cheerleading competitions and weight loss. So yeah, no, that makes sense. I think we're all like Kellen. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what they want too. And that's, I mean, to your point about like the loved one challenge being a quote unquote dud, I feel like the moments that really peaked for me were Kellen's reaction, Aunt Patty, and that one look where Dominic had that sly grin as if to say, I'm going to leave my, apparently, according to Liana, succubus wife behind and go to Ghost Island if Wendell doesn't speak up first.
Yeah, that was pretty great. It was like, I really want to go, but she'll kill me if I go.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I have another discussion question that's not actually a discussion question. It's more of a statement of fact. So Exile Island from season 14 of the CBS hit reality series Survivor, filmed in Fiji, is on sale on privateislands.com, which
what?
Is apparent. privateislandsonline.com, which is apparently a website.
Wow.
The price is upon request, but I feel like we could get a Kickstarter or whatnot going, because if B.O.B., if Bob, rapper Bob, can raise money to put a satellite to find the curve for flat earthers, I feel like we could buy Exile Island. Thoughts?
I mean, I'm in. I mean, take all my money and let's do this. I'm depleting my, I'm Western Unioning everything I have, everything I own. Hold on 1 second while I get the deed to my house, and I'm signing it all over.
Yeah, you can live on Exile Island, though I do remember the one small caveat. I'm pretty sure there were a lot of poisonous snakes on Exile Island, if I remember Fiji properly.
Well, it doesn't look that big. It's 15 acres, so I think we could pretty quickly eradicate all poisonous snakes on Exile Island.
Wait a minute. From what I recall from the Lipster, I believe Americans eat 15 acres of pizza a year. Just a little bit of a connection here. What if we buy an island covered entirely in pizza? That's going to drive the snakes away.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Pizza drove the snakes out of Fiji Exile Island.
It's the tale that we will tell for years. So we could buy Exile Island. So maybe if anybody has any thoughts about what we should do once we buy it, because I'm not quite sure what we're gonna do with Exile Island. Okay, well that's the extermination technique that we're gonna take at the beginning.
The thing is, we have we can have a business tie-in with that floating Fijian restaurant. They can help code it, and then we can sell it to Jip. If they keep filming in Fiji, they could say, okay, you get sent to Pizza Island, and they'll be like, this is the cursed pepperoni. You can play it at any tribal council to, get two extra votes or something like that. I feel like there are a lot of uses for Pizza Island and Survivor.
See, I thought what you were going to have us do right now is craft the inquiry letter to find out how much it was, and we were going to work together to write a phenomenal letter of why they should let us know how much it's selling for.
I think we're comfortable just giving Liana a bottle of wine and seeing how that letter goes.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'll report back next week and see what I wrote, and we'll see if they respond. I'm trying to get a sense of how much it's going to cost. I looked at some of the other islands, and for the price, it just has $7 signs.
Oh, wait, that's not how money works.
I don't know what that means, but if based on Yelp, this seems to be pretty expensive.
Oh, you know what? We can take this island and we can sell it to Seth Rogen and say, you know what? If you want to film Blossed, we found your island.
Oh, yes, and it already has pizza on it.
There we can see. Oh my gosh, all working out. Pizza Island is a brilliant idea. I'm taking it to the Shark Tank along with Michael Lumberlegs, the action figure.
Dreams come true every day on Pizza Island.
Dreams really do come true. Okay, all right. So I'll craft that later. I'll be sure to mention the pizza and the Blossed plan. All right, so now let's get into our next game, if you will, for this week. So we have brought back Shambo, but the Loved Ones edition. So this is our version of the MASH game, Mansion, Apartment, Shack House.
I was
going to
say, for people who didn't listen, who didn't remember last time, we're not bringing back Shannon Waters, though I have recently fallen in love with her, or her younger version.
Is love it. Oorah, oorah.
Oh, God. Yeah, actually, dear God, Shannon Lee. Oh, God.
that's who I'm gonna be. I've been really practicing for the exit interviews if Shambo ever comes back. Okay, so yeah, so what we do is we predict what would happen if we were to play Survivor. So like I said, the game MASH stands for Mansion, Apartment, Shack, House. I can't remember what we had Shambo stand for. I got Shelter, Hidden Immunity Idols, Allies, Merge, Buff, Outlast. I don't know. That's the best I could do.
You just went all right, we have these three key components of the game. Then there's an event. Then there's a thing you wear. Then there's one of the three words on the flag.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the only thing I thought of that starts with O. But we are going to change this up a little bit. So it's not going to be just how you would do on Survivor. We're actually going to talk about how you would do if you made the Loved Ones visit.
Aww.
And how that would go. Yes. Oh, it's so sweet. So much love, Vita. So, Meg, we are going to start with you. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to ask for four of specific categories. Then we're going to sort of spin the wheel and we're going to figure out what your outcome would be. So the first thing I'm going to need from you is I need you to name four people, and they can be potentially family members or even friends.
All right, I'm just gonna pick four random survivors.
Okay.
Let's go with Danger Dave Ball.
Okay.
Kathy Sleckman.
Okay.
Bare Naked Brendan.
Of course.
And let's go with Frosty.
Wait, I'm sorry. Which one is Bare Naked Brendan? Oh, Bare. Oh, I was thinking for some reason, like, did you see something about Brendan Shapiro that I didn't?
We all wish. Okay. Now I need four reward items.
Four reward items. Okay. Let's go with a pineapple Rita.
Ooh, okay.
Let's go with spa food and guided stretches.
Mm. Okay.
Let's go with stealing items from the Great Barrier Reef.
Makes sense.
And let's go with hula hooping with people in the local village.
So just so we're clear, you can steal, it's stealing coral from the Great Barrier Reef without any legal repercussion, right?
Well, we'll see.
Oh, I don't have a category for that. I guess I'll add that at the end.
Pick your lawyer from former survivors.
Name four lawyers.
Brad Culpepper.
Okay, I now need four of the Ghost Island contestants.
Oh,
from this season.
Oh, these people.
No. Do you remember them?
Let's go with Jacob Derwin.
Okay.
Let's go with James.
Okay.
Let's do Desi. Mm-hmm. And let's do Wendell.
Okay. That's Wendell Jr., we learned.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. What are four things you might lie about? But not to your lawyer, obviously.
I'd lie about my shoe size, about when I got bangs.
I was not sure how that word was going to finish.
About who counted the chickens before they hatched, and about who broke Shane's BlackBerry.
Okay. And then the last thing I'm going to need are four types of candy.
Four types of candy. We'll go with Hershey bar. We'll go with dark Hershey bar. We'll go with cookies and cream Hershey bar. And we'll go with, is there another type of Hershey bar?
Were you given like an agenda by Big Hershey to come in and plug their merchandise on the B&B?
I have to say it five times for us all to get paid, so help me think of another one.
Isn't there like a is there like a caramel blonde one?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Caramel blonde Hershey's. Yep.
See? Okay. So now what I'm going to do is I draw a spiral and you tell me when to stop, and that will help me determine how I count this out. It's very scientific.
Absolutely.
So tell me when to stop starting now.
Stop.
Okay. All right, Mike, filler, please, while I do this.
Absolutely. So I want to go back to your boy, Wendell, Megan, I guess Wendell / Sebastian, because in the reward challenge, you know, Sebastian.
They are both not my boy, to be clear.
You're
I'm not owning Seabass in
your
any
boys,
way.
like that hit TBS comedy. But, you know, Sebastian had this choice. You can send yourself to Ghost Island. You can send one of these guys. You can send any of the people left over. What did you feel about his decision? Because I know that some people had talked on the episode about, oh, and I think Kellen sort of felt this way as well about like, oh, they just took a spot that we could have been at. Do you think that Sebastian, to kind of curry favor with the other four, could have said, hey, you figure it out amongst yourselves, so that way maybe he's paving over a bit of the ill will he fostered towards them?
I mean, Sebastian's just like this mythical creature that was given to us for our own amusement. I don't think he's able to think that quickly on his feet to go, here's what I need to do in the right moment from a strategy perspective, from a perspective of how will this benefit my game and not put me in a poor light to the four people who are standing across from me. I think in that moment, he's not thinking about the game. He's just thinking genuine human emotions. The right move, probably is, I mean, he should have just went to Ghost Island himself.
Mm. I mean, I guess the thing is that, you know, and this happened with Wendell as well. It's just like, it really was a bad draw in terms of maybe that was the sort of the cost reward of, hey, you got a guaranteed advantage, but it's probably the least valuable advantage in that even if you suck at the challenge, you're going to keep sucking even after a second time. I mean, I guess all things considered, if Chelsea had gotten the advantage, maybe she could have won immunity, made it a three-peat, and we would have been I wouldn't have Chelsea what as a game this week.
Okay, so thinking about that advantage, do you think, here's what I'm proposing as what the replacement advantage should have been for that, a different Malcolm advantage instead of the Yips hand wand. So the in the last time Malcolm played, there was that tribal council with all the whispering.
Oh,
so
yeah,
what about this?
One.
You go to Ghost Island and the advantage is everybody has to talk super loud before we go to tribal council and at tribal council. So people are just constantly talking at high volume. There's no whispering. There's no anything. Anytime you see somebody whispering, you automatically get to hold up your Ghost Island advantage and say, nope, you need to speak loudly and clearly. I have all the power because I'm reversing Malcolm's curse.
Or you could do like the Big Brother 15 punishment and have everyone carry around a megaphone for the entire afternoon. I guess that sort of breaks the illusion of the island culture, but that could be fun. I think we can also call this the Big Brother Canada 6 finale advantage in that everyone must stay above a certain decibel level.
I would like that. I like it when people yell. That's nice. Because I feel like I yell all the time, so I just feel like everybody then is talking on the same level as me.
It's soothing to you?
It is. It's, yeah, the equivalent of, you know, a lullaby for me. It's somebody yelling at me. Okay, so not to interrupt the very interesting discussion, but I have your loved one's visit all Aww. Played out.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so your loved one was Frosty.
Aww.
Yeah, and you were playing for the reward to steal things from the Great Barrier Reef. But while you were preparing for the challenge, your loved one, Frosty, got into a feud with Jacob Derwin.
No!
Yeah, and then your loved one yelled that you lied about your shoe size. And Seabath begrudgingly compared your loved one to a dark Hershey bar.
Ooh, that's something. He says that, you know, he's bitter, like some nice dark chocolate.
Oh, yeah, that actually kind of works out. Oh, and then the outcome is that you were actually picked to go on the reward by the winner of the challenge, who he was, I don't know.
What if it was Jacob
Derwin?
So
you and Frosty got to go. Yeah, maybe. I don't. Maybe, like, apparently he's still around, so that's nice. That's nice to know. Okay, all right, Mike, you ready to play out your loved one's visit?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now I need four people, suggestion, either family members or friends, but could be Survivor players. I know that Danger Dave Ball is out there really looking to come on a family visit.
Well, I guess I'll go with four random Survivor players as well to keep it in the family a bit. I'll go with the namesake herself, Shambeau. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Give me Julie Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
that would be contentious at a family visit.
Yeah, I want to make things nice and awkward for Jeff Probst.
Would he cry?
Yeah, he would. He'd have to take his own different crying jag for a very different reason. Give me Maddie from Survivor Gabon.
Is he going to propose?
To me, yes. And he'll laugh while he does it. And then... Give me Sash because he can broker a nice mortgage deal with all the other loved ones.
Yeah, okay. I might need Sash to help me out with my mortgage because I just gave my house to buy a Fijian island.
My pizza
well,
island.
That, and you're in a lot of legal trouble because you just took stuff from the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah,
so.
And Frosty is going to testify against you. Like, listen, she lied about her shoe size. What else do you think she's lying about?
Yeah, Frosty's really just throwing you under the bus. Okay, your favorite thing, Mike. I need four numbers.
Oh my god. Not this again. 19.
I know. Okay.
72.
Mm-hmm.
42.
Mm-hmm.
3.
Okay. Okay. Again, four Ghost Island contestants.
All right, let's get Morgan, our shared OG winner pick.
R.I.P. and peace.
Give me...
Oh, Shambeau like Shamu, kind of, because she's a whale trainer.
Yes, exactly. Morgan encouraged Shambeau to jump over that stone wall one time, and Michael Jackson sang. It was a great occasion. We've got, let's see, Stephanie Johnson. Mm-hmm. Let's go with Chris Noble Nookie. Mm-hmm. And give me Donathan.
Okay. What are four things that bother you? Pet peeves, perhaps.
Oh, number one is when people say, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I've already, yeah, no, done this on this, yeah, no podcast.
I'm making the Ghost Island onomatopoeia grunt as we speak.
Yeah, no.
This one is one that carried over from my wife when people say frustrated.
Frustrated?
Yeah, instead of frustrated.
Frustrated?
So they just drop the R.
Frustrated? Frustrated. Okay.
Let's see. The Civil War films.
What?
I mean,
there's been enough of them.
Have there?
Well, according to Mike Bloom, we have sufficiently covered the Civil War.
A while ago.
What?
Focus on the now.
This might be the hottest take I've ever heard. Civil War films are done?
I think we've done what we've got. We got through Lincoln. We got through all the other ones.
Name five, Mike, right now.
Ken
Burns
Civil War
them.
Part 1. Ken Burns Civil War Part 2.
Captain
America Civil War. Lincoln.
All right, that's different. Come on.
I don't know if that counts. I don't know. We've definitely crossed all five Aprils. Because it was old. So what about other wars? Like, can you not make movies about any war that's older than the Civil War?
I mean, I feel like...
Yeah, what about Rice Wars? Rice Wars.
No, please. No more Rice Wars.
Is that like Storage Wars?
Yes, it's just Philip going, yep. All right.
Okay, well, you can describe more about your Civil War pet peeve in a second. I need one more thing that bothers you.
Oh, how about getting questioned about my pet peeves?
Okay. And then the last thing, I need four animals.
Let's go with a tiger.
Okay.
Let's go with a taser. Mm-hmm. A tree frog in Angela's throat. Okay. And a water buffalo.
Fun. Okay. Last thing, tell me when to stop. Go. Any time, Mike.
Stop.
Okay, good. Those running out of space on my paper.
How big are your spirals?
Look, I don't have the dexterity to draw small spirals. If there was a Survivor challenge where you had to draw tight spirals and I got the advantage to redraw my spiral, it wouldn't make a difference. I would still lose that challenge.
That is,
I mean,
when
we've done word search. It's not out of the mind.
When Survivor is at the bottom of its budget is when they say, okay, just keep, it's an endurance challenge. Just keep drawing a spiral. That's when Spirograph sponsors Survivor.
Well, I actually heard that was going to be a challenge on the first season of Survivor New Zealand, but you know, they got $5 for their budget, so they decided to up the...
Let's go with the bag of melted Hershey's
chocolate. Have you guys been watching that season?
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, it's been really fun. Okay, all right, sorry, I gotta focus on this.
All right, so I'll bring
Is it a spoiler that they do spiral graphs?
No, they do not, so it's just a spoiler in our own minds. So I'll bring up another question here. Let's talk about Donathan's quote-unquote truth bombs at Tribal Council. So... I mean, I think it's slowly has eked out, you know, what the intention was behind it. I think a lot of people were thinking it was going to get Wendell to force his idol. But according to Donathan, it said he basically just wanted to make the Navitis feel like the Malolos felt. Do you feel like that's accurate? And if so, I mean, next time on Excluded, do you think this is going to immediately put him at the top of the hit list?
Donathan is a sneaky little cherub. He is somebody that just anytime you see, he gets so much pleasure from when he thinks he's king of the hill. And to me, this is just classic implosion where he's just going to think he's able to run the show. He loved being in the swing spot. I think that you're going to watch him fizzle out because he eats it up. His grin is so big when he's doing these very evil little things. Ooh, it's he's got such a dark little side to him, but it's so lovable too. It's so conflicting.
Yeah, dark.
So, but was there strategy involved in what he was doing?
I'm not sure because again, I feel like we as a community were giving him too much credit. I mean, I wonder if there's some strategy too behind, you know, razzing the Navitis a bit just to sort of keep everyone on their toes, but. From what he alluded to, it seemed like he just basically wanted to kind of say, hey, look how it feels now to constantly feel like you're not safe, because that's how I've been feeling basically since the first episode. Mm.
I don't know. I agree with that. What'd you call him? A cherub?
I think I called him a sneaky little cherub.
Sneaky little cherub. That's actually a really good description. Because he does. He sort of had that like very devious side to him. I honestly don't even know what he was doing. It just because I know that he even admitted he wasn't trying to get Wendell to flush his idol. So if it's not that, you know, what could it have been?
Well, I wonder if, because now I think ever since 35, we're really focusing on this idea of what are you doing in front of the jury? And I know that Donathan hadn't seen 35, but it seems like he possibly could be putting on a big show for the jury. But then he's almost undermining himself by saying, there's going to be a big blindside tonight. By the way, I'm not voting Wendell out, you know?
Right. I also don't think that anyone knows what the word blindside means anymore, but that's just
they're blossed in the blindsides.
That seems like more of a pet peeve of people not using the word blindside correctly than Civil War movies.
Number five is probably, not using the word blindside correctly. Number six is not using the term floater correctly. Those are just honorable mentions.
Okay, well, I'll be sure to include that next time. But I have, Mike, what your family visit would be if you were to play Survivor. So your family member is Sash, came to see you, which is good. It works out for Meg Z. And now there's no extra reward that you're playing for, but you get to share 3 extra minutes with your loved one. But while Sash was out there, Donathan started hitting on him. And that caused your loved one to endlessly complain about people saying, yeah, no.
Oh, so I guess Donathan was trying to flirt with him. Maybe that's a form of negging by saying, yeah, no, like you're not that good.
It's like next level. But, Seabass complimented your loved one by comparing their hair to a dead tree frog in Angela's throat.
We've already talked about frogs. I mean, we've really just nailed it already.
I mean, and he probably has experience smelling dead tree frogs in Angela's throat, considering he's been with her since the beginning.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, sorry, Mike, you got back to camp. No reward for you.
Well, at least Sash was able to, get a good down payment on my house with my extra 3 minutes with Sash, though. Who knows if he remembered it after he got in that little scuff with Donathan.
I know.
We're really sorry. Right. Don't let a civil war brew on the B&B, Liana.
No. Although that might have to be my discussion question for next time. Civil war films, too much.
We've gone further
tonight
off the beaten
hard
path.
Copy.
Oh, man. I think that should be our B&B movie night this month, Mike. We're actually going to be showing the Ken Burns Civil War documentary.
That's fine. You know what? That's what I feel like. We've hit the limit, you know? Don't push it too much. That's what I'm personally feeling.
Oh, so it's new Civil War movies.
It's new Civil War movies. Yes, he thinks we've capped out. There's nothing else we can learn. No other perspectives. We're done. That's it. Close the book, future film writers.
Listen, we have the North. We have the South. It's pretty. We've got those two perspectives down.
Next time you're in a Starbucks and you see people with laptops writing their little screenplays, just be like, you writing about the Civil War? Okay, good. Are you writing about the Civil War? Okay, good. I'm just checking. Just doing a quality check.
Just doing a service for this country.
Oh, so tangential to this. I went on a hike the other day and I saw this monument that was to the Revolutionary War. But then it seemed like they tacked on every single war after that. So it was like, oh, this is a monument to the Revolutionary War and the Spanish-American War and Civil War. And it was like every single war in this one monument. Mike, you would have hated it.
Do you feel like they started with the Revolutionary War monument and they said, well, there's a lot of wars happening afterwards. I guess we should like add parentheticals to them.
I think so. I think they just ran out of money for a new monument. And they were like, well, let's just repurpose this old one. That's very thrifty of us.
Yeah, what is
we're
that?
Going to see the war memorial today. Which war? Just the war.
All of them.
War memorial.
War. It probably also Captain America Civil War is going to get tacked on there. The sign was just old. So we'll see.
We shall see. Well, I have a discussion question now that I have unfortunately bid farewell to Sash. And hopefully this is before Megan gets to go off and enjoy a nice afternoon with her loved one, Frosty, even though they have a pretty frosty relationship as it is. So I'm going to go back to the immunity challenge for a second. Now, watching Malcolm, the flashback of Malcolm in Philippines reminded me of a certain time when Miss Abby Maria Gomez had an advantage from the auction, and she chose to stretch the truth a bit as to what powers it contained. So I think Rob talked about this a little bit with Michael Snow on the recap this week, but I'll ask the question to you two as well. Should Wendell have lied about what his advantage entailed?
I mean, the thing about Wendell is that he's already such a big target, or from what we've seen, based on his advantages. So could he have lied about something that would have been enough of a deterrent to get people to not look at him, right? Because I feel like otherwise, oh, he's got another advantage, he's still a target. Or is it so much something so like, oh, this is my super idol? You know, I don't know. I just feel like there's no way for him to really use this advantage, even if he was lying about it, to get everybody off his back.
I mean, Jeff prompts him to read his advantage there. Would there be a reason to read an advantage that wasn't challenge related? I mean, that's the only question. You'd have to think it would have to be challenge related if Jeff is asking you. Or is that considered Jeff blowing up your game by asking him to read the advantage?
That's true. He could have said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't find anything. Well, I'm wondering what if he tried to pull an Abby and was like, okay, part one is that he gets to get a second chance. But what if he once he gets back to the bench, he pretends to start rummaging around the bench, like he's looking for an idol. And so it's assumed that, oh, the second part was an idol clue. That way, maybe that does deter people from voting for him because he already has an idol, but now they say, oh, he has another idol now.
What if he full Papa Bear'd it and just ran into the woods? We've never seen anybody leave the kind of playpen of the challenge area. And it's just like, where'd Wendell go? He ran into the woods.
Except for Amanda that one time when she had to pee.
That's true.
Oh, that would be so good. I want somebody to do that now. I was going to say he was chasing after his loved one, but no, they
come
were
back,
gone
Wendell
by
Senior.
Dad! Dad! Well, I mean, the fact that we've seen a shell this season they haven't seen Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, but the fact that a single piece of string and a shell can be combined together to get an idol, right? I mean, he could just be, like you said, sort of digging around and finds a effing stick. Maybe it matured on Ghost Island. I don't know. And then try to convince him. I don't know. I think that they're going to be questioning him kind of regardless. I don't know what he could do that would be convincing enough to really make it worthwhile.
I mean, I wonder if he was in a different situation, in a different type of position. Because, I totally understand what you guys are saying of, he probably didn't want to rock the boat. But I wonder if he was in a different position. Could he have lied and said, okay, my advantage is I get to choose one person to not participate in this challenge. And I wonder if production would have let him go with that.
Oh, that's scandalous.
That is really scandalous. Oh, man. Okay, that totally would have backfired. There's no way it would have worked, right? Because, what would they just have believed him? Would Probes have been like, oh, Wendell?
I mean, yeah, I guess we have to sort of ask, how far will production let things run? Because, I mean, they let Tony lie about how far the super idol worked. They accidentally let the lie go out about the vote steal being transferable. So I guess we have to sort of see if a breaking point hits, much like my breaking point with Civil War films.
I don't know. I think that's a good point. I don't think you're going to see anybody really try to push those limits because I feel like it immediately blows up your spot, right? I mean, I guess if you're in a dire situation, you know, what's the risk? But can you imagine then Kellen's like, oh, I can't compete.
Could you imagine if Wendell was like, all right, and my advantage is first person to the immunity necklace wins it. Yeah. He just races over to it and gets it and was like, sorry, guys.
And he's like, but I want it.
And the advantage is whoever's name rhymes with Mendel gets automatic immunity.
Oh, and whoever's a junior gets immunity next week. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think it's doable. It would be fun to see. Maybe on our reboot of The Assistant, maybe people will be a little bit more devious in the things that they're willing to. Because, yeah, they're going to have the episode. I got excited. Okay,
she got excited. There's ideas.
I had an idea. This is better than my idea to buy Exile Island. So there's the Survivor-themed episode, right? Because every episode is based off of a theme based on a previous reality show. Then that's where you do it. We have people running into the woods. We have people running to the idol, the immunity idol, telling people that they can't play the games. Oh, it's going to be a complete disaster. I can't wait.
Yes. Is the assistant where we test out like all the wacky theories that didn't go to Samoa and all the think tanks like Dog Island, and we see how they work and then figure out what we're going to bring to the actual show?
Yes, it's going to be the proverbial dumpster for the think tank.
Yeah, and we can do it for all the different shows. So let's see. They did a Bachelor theme one, America's Next Top Model, Amazing Race, American Idol, Fear Factor, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? There was a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire themed episode. What is the theme of that episode? Did they just answer questions?
You're just going to have to look it up.
I know. I'm actually considering watching this. Since now I don't have to do the morning updates on Saturday.
Yeah, now you have to.
Can we watch
really
it at our slumber party?
Yes. Yes, this will be, okay, we're going to make our pillows, mm-hmm. and we're going to watch The Assistant, and this is going to be a really fun slumber party.
And you won't even need to order pizza, because you can just go outside and reach into the ground for some heaping deep dish.
Yeah, it's just going to be, is it like, does it cover the entire island? So is it also our shelter?
Yeah, so I guess it's a little bit of conservation in that regard.
We live in a stuffed crust shack.
Yes. And so you're going to have to study crustal change to see how the waning crust will deal with your own habitat.
For some reason, that sounds better than Rupert's dug in the ground shack. So I think I'll take it.
Yeah, take what you could get. Well, that's going to bring us to our final segment of each and every week here on the RHAP B&B. The question of the week. Last week's question of the week, based on the wackadoo Survivor cologne commercial that Michael and Jenna put out. We wanted you all to come up with your own Survivor fragrance and possibly what it would smell like. Of course, we'll read the answers coming from you listeners, and then we'll read our own as well. Let's start with Jeff Bajoric. Apologies if I mispronounce your name there. Musk by Josh from Survivor San Juan del Sur. The tagline, no one will claim you're like a woman when you smell like bonfire, potato chips, and natural body odor. That was my attempt at, because he said that the commercial will be similar to Alaska's Red for Filth perfume from All Stars 2. So that was my attempt at trying to straddle both sides there of the community.
I think the perfume voice is very important in the reading of this.
All right. Well, yeah, not all of us can win Emmys for their podcast impressions, Mike. Right, it's okay.
I'll try to make my Muppet-like voice do its best husky tone. All right, let's move on to Trent C. He's got a couple of ones, but I think my two favorite are Michael's fragrance is smells like teen spirit. And Russell's fragrance, on the other hand, is smells like dirty butt.
Oh.
Ew. I'd buy Michael's fragrance. Like, I'm just saying that from that Ponderosa video, it looked like a real ad. I don't buy perfume, but I would buy that perfume.
I mean, what would... Aqua, it feels like it would just imply that it smells like seawater or something, right?
Yeah, but doesn't it just aqua?
I mean, do any of us know what's really in our perfume?
That actually could be part of an ad for some like cruelty-free perfume.
Yeah, I was gonna say that'd be like Morgan's like a PETA-like ad of like, does anyone really know what's in their perfume?
Yeah, it could be whale oil.
Don't trust the blondes and don't trust the perfume companies. All right, let's move on to Dom, not to be confused with, maybe it's Dominic, who knows. My fragrance idea is Amazonian Firewood by Butch. It would smell of the infamous fire that was caused by Butch and his hoarding of firewood. And I think Megan also sent in a very similar one, a burnt shelter by Butch. So Butch is inspiring a lot of fragrances, you know, 15 years after the fact.
Those sound like candles I would have in my house, though.
I like the hint of the melting plastic, because I think that really just brings out the full experience. You know, it's not just the wood smoke. It's also the carcinogens and cancer.
And also
much like there's tannins in wine, there's lots of hints in perfume and cologne.
And also burning money, right? Because didn't Rob say all of his auction money burnt up? Much like we probably will be burning our money buying a pizza island.
How dare you? Pizza Island's a great idea. Yeah, okay, so that's what they need. So here's what we also need to come up with after we're done coming up with our fragrance lines. You know how they have like pairing charts for wines and foods,
mm-hmm.
pairing charts for perfume to be paired with, I don't know, date ideas, perhaps? I feel like that's we could take that to Shark Tank or Sloth Terrarium or whatnot. I feel like that's a decent idea.
Sloth, we could do that. So like all terrarium? Of these burnt. Yeah, news AF.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. I don't know why my mind was on something else where I thought of Sloth Terrarium.
Yeah, well, hearing it out of context, right, is always.
We will take it to Sloth Terrarium.
All
right, let's move on here to to Mummy Gaga, who was not me, as Antonio Mazzaro once theorized last. Rob Cesternino, in which his fragrance will be Rob has a fragrance. It will smell like the time when Mike Bloom finally wins a prediction game this season. Well, Mummy Gaga, jokes on you, because it'll smell like nothing.
Oh,
what does that pair with? Sadness?
Yes, it pairs like with very stupidly specific fan fiction.
Yeah. That pairs with a date to a cemetery. Enjoy.
See, you have the voice down. Yeah, okay, well, you know, Mike, you have what? Well, technically, with the finale, you've got like 5 chances, right? So you've got like 6 or 7 more chances.
I've got 7 more chances, but I think you can count easily all those chances getting given up in over the course of your prediction.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, we got one from Jonathan Troyer here. Powers by Survivor. Smoky. Ooh. Intense. Sticks around way longer than you would ever expect or want.
Is that supposed to be? That's a Shane Powers joke, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but you could have. I think, Meg, was it yours where your loved one, Frosty, could have ruined the fact that you lied about breaking Shane's BlackBerry?
That's true.
I think then you have to buy several cases of Powers by Survivor. Hard to make up for it.
Mm-hmm. But Shane would be like, Shane would probably be like, I made this perfume in my bathtub.
I made it in Courtney's, her shitty apartment.
I put it in a Poland Spring bottle for you. Enjoy. I don't know why my Shane power sounds like Vincent D'Onofrio in Men in Black.
Pretty much the same person.
All right, let's move on to Dan Sinensky, who says, my line of fragrances, it's called Chickens of Beauty from seasons 28 and 32. The hen perfume smells like unfertilized eggs with notes of uncertainty. And the rooster cologne smells like tame rooster with the palpable aroma of postponing death.
That's morbid. My mom would totally buy the chicken one, though. The hen perfume, for sure. But she would probably think, she'd be like, oh, then my chickens will love me more. I can see it.
That one also seems like you're going on a date to a cemetery.
That's probably what most of these are for anyway.
It must smell like chickens.
Yeah, palpable aroma of postponing death. Yikes. That sounds like something out of an Emily Dickinson poem.
I like it. It's got some slant rhymes going on there. Finally, let's finish things off with John Tinkham. Boston Rob Mariano is revolutionizing the fragrance industry with his brand new cologne, Garble. It can only be sprayed 4 times per container, but each spritz contains a different aroma. The first spray is bold and in your face, but surprisingly offensive over time. The second spray is like a nice shake of the hand, but don't turn your back on it because it will leave you high and dry. The third spray will leave you extra emotional with the potential side effect of crybabyitis. The fourth and final spray is the real winner, but casual fragrance fans will say your first 3 sprays should have been more successful.
Nice.
Good.
Suck it, Boston Rob. Get it? Get it? It's a joke about it.
Well, this pairs perfectly with going Christmas shopping for your 4 children, I'm assuming.
which one gets which? That way it's like, oh yeah, no, I love all my children equally. Ooh, but you get the Boston Rob version 1 perfume.
Yes.
I know. I like them all, but I like the first spray getting offensive over time. I think that's like, I don't know what that means. Like, oh, this smells lovely. Wait a minute. I came back an hour later and I hate it now.
Yeah, it's actually the same as the Burnt Shelter by Butch, because as it continues to burn, you get more and more of the melted plastic. Surprisingly offensive over time.
Well, let's go around the horn here and give our own Survivor fragrances. Megan, let's start with you. What do you have?
Okay, so I'm just kind of do some rapid fire of just some names and who they're by. But let me get into my perfume voice first. All right, are you ready for my Survivor perfumes? Here we go. We have Snout by Papa Smurf. Conjugal Visit by Colby. The bottle is shaped like his mom.
like what, like Mrs. Butterworth?
Yes. We have Goo Ball by Chet.
Goo-ball.
We have Blam, which you think would be by Stacy, but it's actually by Christine Markowski. She got the rights to it first.
Ooh.
We have Wendy Jo DeSchmidt Kohlhoff by Wendy Jo DeSchmidt Kohlhoff. We have Sacre Bleu, You Have Been Defeated by Billy Garcia. Yes, that's a reality game master's throwback for all you longtime listeners. And finally, we have Regret by Michael Scoopin.
Man, you'd think when you throw out that many, one would be a winner.
But they're all winners. I love it. Goo-ball sounds like a Gwyneth Paltrow take on perfume.
Yeah, well, it's like goop. I'm pretty sure that, yeah. It's
Yeah, there's sex dust in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where do you stick it? Because I'm pretty sure you don't just spray it on yourself. If I know anything about goop products. Okay, I've got two. Okay, hold on. Let me, I don't know if I can do as good a job, but I'm going to do my best. Okay. This one is called Freestyle by Chris Noble. Unleash the ego. Ooh. Smells like Corona and salad dressing. My second one is. I'd assume that that's what he smells like. If you get the Noble Nookie, Mike, maybe you'll find out. Okay. My next one is Invisible by Kelly and Chelsea. Mm. Purple here, gone tomorrow. Smells like grapes, iris, lavender with a hint of eggplant. That was me being like, what things are purple? So those are my two ideas.
Love that.
Once you put it on, people will say, do you have perfume on? And you'll say, it's invisible.
Or yeah. If you put it on, people will say, where did you go?
I can no longer see you. Oh, it's like the invisibility cloak. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Great idea.
And so I only have one, but I'm calling it A Little Dabo Do Ya from Survivor Micronesia. where it's a mix of burnt sticks and hints of crushed Black Widow spider.
Sorry.
Will that kill you?
I don't know, but a little dabble do ya, so maybe. Maybe it will. Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, my one's probably the least enticing, and that includes Papa Smurf's snout. That's probably near the bottom of the list, I would say.
Well, so I know that Black Widows, right, they're poisonous. Or venomous? Isn't there a difference between poisonous and venomous? That's like, one, if you bite it, you die, or if it bites you.
Who's biting spiders?
Okay, look, I don't know.
Listen, if your spider bites you, you bite it right back. You show dominance.
That's right. So poisonous is if you eat it and then you die. Venomous is if it... Okay, venomous means a plant, animal, or substance capable of causing death or illness if taken in... Okay, never mind. I'll figure it out later. Either way,
all right.
If you put it on in your perfume, I mean, I think that we're onto something with the fact that you could die.
Yeah.
Mike, are you trying to kill everybody?
No. I think that you can do
No.
I want to cause a civil...
Only the people... Yeah, only the people that make Civil War movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Liana, he's trying to take over Pizza Island. We have to shut this down.
Causing Pizza Island Civil War is coming. Just you wait. Convert everyone with my Black Widow perfume, A Little Dabo Do Ya. Cause everyone to run into pointy sticks and cut open their fingers and all that jazz. Well, next week's question of the week, in honor of Chelsea, we talked a bunch about, you know, if you out there were on Survivor. If you were on Survivor, what's the type of edit that you would want to get? Would you want to be purple? Would you want to get a dodo edit? Would you want to get a heroic edit? We'd love to hear from you. Write your own Mike Bloom-esque outlandish fan fiction if you want to. You have a number of ways to reach out to us. As always, use the hashtag RHAPBNB. You can also reach out to us on the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon page, on the Rob Has a Website post for this as well. And we'll be talking about this next week. Well, some of us will. I will be making my way, like Liana did this week, back to the mothership of RHAP. I'll be joining Rob next week to cover all the feedback that you guys will send in for episode 13 of Survivor Ghost Island. But Liana will be holding down the fort. Liana, who is going to be joining you next week?
We have my fellow competitor and fellow morning updater from Big Brother. Puya will be joining us on the B&B next week, along with our head writer, Paul. So it's going to be a blast. We're going to have so much fun while Mike is away. We're going to have a civil war. Oh, wait, we're not going to have a civil war. We're going to have all the pizza. It's going to be so much fun.
Yes. And
sounds great.
Morning updates would also be what you would want to wear your perfume to, right? At a nice funeral morning update.
a morning update. Get it? Okay. Sorry. I just have an update on the venomous versus poisonous. Yes, please,
the big debate of the evening.
I just don't want to leave this open. Okay. Venomous means capable of injecting venom. So a rattlesnake is venomous, but not poisonous. Because if you eat a rattlesnake, it's not going to kill you. But Yum. If you eat a blowfish, it will kill you because it's poisonous, but it's not venomous. So if you eat it and it kills you, it's poisonous. If it eats you and it kills you, it's venomous.
I'm pretty
so
sure
I shouldn't
eats you.
Eat blowfish pizza.
Right. Don't eat blowfish pizza, but you can eat rattlesnake pizza.
No. Okay. Well, we got a lot of sea snakes on the island, just saying.
Oh, yeah, once we kill them. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay.
Turning lemon trees into lemonade, truly, in Fiji with our islands. Well, Megan, this was a truly ridiculous podcast, but this was so much fun. Thank you for getting blossed with us over the course of the past hour and a half. How can people follow you on social media to hear about everything that you're up to?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. You can follow me at Meg Wants to Know. And I'm going to steal y'all's plug and say continue to listen to Mike, Liana and Brent as they cover the end of RuPaul's Drag Race as they head to the end. I'm very much looking forward to all of their share impressions this week. It's going to be fantastic.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Cher never did that, Mike. Okay.
That's true.
If you listen to Chad Michaels. Also, I just want to thank everybody who sent Photoshop pictures of babies playing Survivor. Yes. I have them all saved. I love them so much. I can't decide which one to make my header on Twitter. But thank you so much for that. I loved them.
Yeah, we're going to have to make like a baby book of babies playing Survivor and keep sending them in. Why not? If you're continuing to be inspired, or if you want to have baby survivors on Pizza Island, what have you? We're really like, yeah. Like, bring us your tired, your poor memes, your huddled Photoshops yearning to breathe free. We're going to take you all in here at the B&B.
Yeah, well, since I can't do any sort of like sewing crafts, maybe I'll take up scrapbooking and I'll put together like Baby's First Survivor. And I'll be like, oh, this is like your kid, like Survivor birthday party. And I'll be like, no, these are Photoshop pictures of babies.
Baby's First Time on Survivor.
Do you know these people? Nope.
I'm sorry. So these are kids you know?
Any of us know? No. We don't know who they are if you don't check out the preseason stuff. So that's fair.
Actually, I believe the answer is yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Shaking.
Oh, it just makes him. Oh, he's so frustrated.
No, oh boy. All right. You're just pushing me out in the week that I'm going to be off on the B&B. Well, you can follow Liana as always at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. And you can follow me at Mike Bloomtype. As Megan said, check out our Drag Race recap this week. We're going to have a very special guest on that I'm very excited to talk to, as well as check out all the exit press I'm doing with Parade. I got to speak with Chelsea Proper. Unfortunately, it was not Liana embodying Chelsea about her time on the show, as well as all the other podcasts and articles coming out. So that's going to do it for this week on the B&B. If you have any suggestions or long form answers for this week's question of the week, feel free to always email us, rhapbnb@gmail.com. Or if you're just a roving band of Greek priests like you were in the beginning of this season, feel free to reach out as well. Again, that huddled masses plaque is sure coming in handy here. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing all this together, Will from America for the use of a theme song, and of course our head writer and guest next week, Paul Osselson, for his great work as per usual. So that's going to do it this week on the B&B. We've got some Pizza Islands to buy. Thank you so much for tuning in as per usual, and we'll check you out at your next day.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. Better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAP B&B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. Better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you.